Recording.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of Uncanny Treks. We're talking about the Superman show. What number is this, Matt?
This is episode 6, Bob, I believe.
Episode 6. It's the one with, well, we won't spoil it, but it has Supergirl in it. Matt, how you feeling about this show? I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know, Bob. This episode was better, but I think it was missing a whole big piece that all the other episodes have had in the past.
I agree with you that it's better. I don't necessarily like the way it's moving. What's the big piece it's missing?
Lois.
She's at the end.
At the very end, for like a split second. She doesn't say anything this whole episode, though.
She's in a computer VR hallucination, whatever, in the middle.
Yeah, a slight little thing there, but that's it, Bob. There wasn't a lot of Lois and Clark stuff going on.
Since we're spoiling it, I'll just go ahead and say, I don't like Lois and Jimmy in space. What are Lois and Jimmy doing in space? That doesn't make any sense. They don't need to be in space.
Yeah, well, don't worry, Bob. The next episode, you're going to find out, because that's probably, you know, what it's all about, too.
Yeah. Yep. They're going to explain how they got in space. But you grant my point, though. They shouldn't be in space.
Yeah, they shouldn't be in space, Bob. Not in this show. No.
Ooh. Is there ever a time when Lois and Jimmy being in space is a good idea? I don't think so.
I mean, didn't Lois go into space in the original Marv Wolfman run thing? The whole thing was that she went in space at the beginning, and that's how Superman rescued her.
But did she even get into space? I thought it was just up in the air, and then trouble happened.
Yeah. I think you're right, Bob. There's just a lot of trouble. They were suborbital. They're in the part where they can
float. Yeah, that's not...
They can float a little
bit. That's not space.
Yeah, they can float a little bit.
That's not space. Yeah, but should Lois be in space punching Brainiac, meeting Phanagarians, seeing Green Lanterns? I don't think so.
Probably not, Bob. But Jimmy's the king of Flamebirds, so maybe he's got more pull now.
I agree that given the way we treat Jimmy Olsen in the 70s and now, it should just have him do as weird adventures as possible, right?
Right.
So... I still don't think it... I think it works better if he's just chilling with gorillas or chilling with Sasquatch or chilling with whatever weird thing on Earth. I still think that works better there. But I guess it at least makes some sense for Jimmy to be in space in the spirit of his weirdness.
Bob, he was chilling with a gorilla. You saw that. He just happened to be on a spaceship.
You're just being willfully obtuse. Very frustrating. One thing I did like about this episode was how Supergirl constantly refers to Superman's sad, weird Earth brain. I thought that was pretty cute.
Yeah, I like this approach that she's taking with him because, I mean, it feels like he could do more if he didn't think like a human. But he thinks like a human, so it kind of holds him back a little bit.
Yeah, and her having that sinister interpretation of Pa Kent playing catch with Superman, that was actually a nice scene, I thought.
Yeah, that was actually well done. One of the few scenes in this episode, I have to say, that someone had a message.
So, do you think Hawkman and Hawkwoman are going to show up later in the show in season 3 as the last survivors of Thanagar?
Oh, yeah, of course they will, Bob. There's no way they're killing off characters this soon.
Matt, they literally genocided 3 worlds in this episode.
Yeah, Bob, but come on. The Thanagar, that's the only one that was memorable.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean... This doesn't seem like a show that's very interested in non-Superman stuff. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, yeah. They probably will not have a Justice League spinoff or anything. They'll probably make it... I'm saying they make it 4 seasons.
You think it'll make it 4?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you even know what the average length of, like, a cartoon is these days? I really don't.
I'm not sure, but I'm thinking 4 seasons. I'm thinking season 4 they try to do some weird to try to make a spinoff, and that's when you'll see more characters.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But yeah, there does seem to be something rather self-contained about this show in a way, despite all of its little references to other things. We'll talk about the other two planets in a minute, but that was something I sort of resented about the show. I mean, on the one hand, it's fine, whatever, the comics are the comics, and then there's plenty of other things like Young Justice that do fuller versions of the DC universe. But it is a little dispiriting to be like, oh, hey, here's 3, you know, worlds from the DC universe, and they've all been genocided by Supergirl.
Man, and crazy Supergirl, man. She's just like the Herald of Galactus here, Bub.
Yeah, and I don't know. Are they going to kill Supergirl at the end of the story? Are they going to just bring her in as an occasional supporting character? Is she going to be in every episode going forward? I don't know. I maybe could do without Supergirl dealing for the rest of the show with her guilt for being one of history's greatest genocidaires. That might I don't know. It's just not my favorite approach.
You mean you don't want to spend the next several episodes with her sulking because she realizes she destroyed worlds? And
yeah,
that's not fun. I don't want to deal with that angst, Bob. I really don't want to deal with the angst of Supergirl.
Yeah, no, same. So we saw Thanagar blown up, and then one of the other ones was Euphorex, which is from the Omega Men series. Have you ever heard of that series?
No, I didn't know what Omega Men is.
Yeah, it's a DC sci-fi series from the 70s and the 80s. I never read it. Tom King did a series of it a few years ago that was pretty good.
Oh, okay.
I've never read the original. Maybe we'll look at the Tom King one sometime.
That could be interesting. I'm digging some Tom King stuff. Some of it, not a lot of it.
Oh, man. Did you hear about his Jenny Sparks thing?
No. What happened with Jenny Sparks?
Do you kind of know the basic concept of Jenny Sparks?
No, not really.
The Authority, the Wildstorm, you know, edgy Justice Leagues, hyper-violent, gay Batman and Superman, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So Jenny Sparks is a member of that. This is a late 90s comic. Warren Ellis, I think, created her. So she's Jenny Sparks. She's the spirit of the 20th century. Yeah, she has a kind of punk look with a Union Jack t-shirt. Does that ring a bell?
Vaguely, yes.
Okay, so when the new millennium happens, they kill her off because she's the spirit of the 20th century, right?
Right.
And then a new spirit of the 21st century is born, Jenny Quintum. Does that make sense?
Okay, yes, that does make sense.
So Tom King is doing a new miniseries. I think it's a 6-issue miniseries called Jenny Sparks. And this presents a problem that Jenny Sparks is back. Do you know why she's back?
No, Bob. Why is Jenny Sparks back?
Can you think of something that maybe happened that would maybe cause the spirit of the 20th century to resurrect, Matt? Just around the turn of the millennium, something happened in real life. Very, very sad. Made a lot of people very sad.
9/11?
Yes. 9/11 retro.
That's awful.
Doesn't that sound like the best comic ever written, Matt? Aren't you so excited to read it?
That sounds brilliant, Bob.
I'm so excited.
I'm going to have to Google Jenny Sparks now and get that comic.
I'm not sure if it's actually out yet. That's just the concept.
Well, this hasn't been released yet. So, God, that's even worse.
Yeah. God, he's... Tom King, man, some of the best comics of the 21st century and some of the worst. And I'm betting Jenny Sparks is going to be one of the worst. So we've got Thanagar devastated. We've got Euphorex from Omega Men devastated. And then have you ever heard of the Green Lantern, Chip?
Yeah, he's like a squirrel Green Lantern, right? He's literally Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers if Chip was like a Green Lantern.
Yeah, he might predate Chip and Dale. I don't know, actually. Maybe not. But yeah, his home planet is Helvine, which Supergirl also killed. So she killed billions and billions of cute little anthropomorphic chipmunks, Matt.
Jesus, man. She's just awful. Genocidal maniac.
Yeah.
Brainiac was taking over her, though, so she at least has a scapegoat.
Yeah, I was going to say, switching from the questions about the portrayal of Supergirl to questions about the portrayal of Brainiac, how do you feel about him having the rank of Primus? I mean, Primus Brainiac.
I mean, that makes him like the best one, right? Primus Brainiac is at top of the...
Yeah, I don't know. It's not the title specifically. It's just Brainiac having a title to me is interesting, I guess.
Yeah. I've never heard of it that way before.
It was an interesting portrayal of Brainiac with like his soft voice and what have you.
Yeah, but it sounded like...
Manipulative father energy.
Yeah, he sounded a little like Ultron though to me. Did you get Ultron vibes?
I didn't think of it in the moment, but now that you said it, yeah, especially with the way he wore human clothes in a quasi-comical way.
He sounds like Ultron, and he looks like General Grievous.
With the disconnect from the wires and what have you. So he sticks Superman into this training module slash memory bank or whatever, and so at first he fights a Green Lantern monk. Then was the second one a parademon?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the second one was a parademon. That's what it looked like to me.
Okay. And then the third one was a Thangarian, which was a very cool design. And even though I was saying before, this doesn't strike me as a show that's going to do the Superman 90s show, have a Flash episode and a Green Lantern episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't really strike me as a show that's going to do that. But I don't know. It is a cool Thangarian design. I wouldn't mind seeing a Hawkman or Hawkwoman in that design.
Yeah, it was a sleeker armor design that we're not used to seeing with that character. They usually wear bulkier armor.
Yeah, and it had a little bit of a mummy vibe to it, a little bit of that, you know, sometimes you see Thanagarian stuff look kind of Egypt punk, but sometimes not. But yeah, I like that. Matt, you had a question about Superman's powers.
So yeah, Bob, this whole season, Superman's been showcasing the ability to adapt his powers to whatever comes his way. And you have seemed to like have missed every opportunity within the season, like to see it. But now that I know it's an actual plot point and not just random stuff going on, you digging this new take on his powers? He's just a constantly evolving thing.
That's a bold take, Matt, that you assume that I paid enough attention to have an opinion about it. It's a very bold assumption. And I still don't really understand what his powers are. Matt, I was too busy looking up what Equinox and Helvin were. I don't care. I guess to slightly contradict what you were saying earlier, you were saying on the one hand, Supergirl is showing Superman what he'd be like if he weren't cucked and if he had Earth powers limiting him.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's true. But then it did seem, and tell me if I just totally misunderstood this while not paying attention, it did seem the show was suggesting that whatever Superman's powers are, I still don't understand, happened because he cares about people. And so presumably if Supergirl cared about people, she could do that too. Did you get that?
Yes, Bob, that is exactly what I was getting from that. That's what they're trying to tell you.
So it's basically just plot solving powers. He just gets the power to solve whatever the problem in front of him is. Is that basically how it was presented? That's how it felt to me. You're half paying attention.
Basically, Bob, yes, that's the idea.
I went from, I didn't remember the new thing, / I don't care, to, I still don't care, but I think it's more, let's do that aside.
It does seem dumb, but it does give you those weird energy looks to Superman. They bring back that 90s, late 90s vibe.
And that's fine. Superman Blue is interesting. If they do a Superman Blue, I wouldn't hate that.
You know, it could be a different take.
Yeah, well, Matt, one other thing that I think might make you grumpy, it makes me grumpy. So Brainiac, he's taken Zod's Neil line. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that was just lame, Bob. They need to just come up with a new line for other characters.
Yeah, I don't know. It is, the merging of Zod, Brainiac, and Zor-El, it's interesting. I mean, it's mostly not Zor-El, but there's still a little bit of Zor-El to it, too. It's at least a new choice. Yeah, I don't think it's a great choice, but it's at least a new choice. You can't take it away from him.
Yeah, that line just always sticks with Zod to me, so anyone else using it just doesn't fit. They need to come up with something different.
True that. I was thinking about it. As much as I hated last week's episode, it is funny that it was Superman in a bachelor competition, and then him being selected, it's like, oh, just like Brainiac selects him.
Oh, yeah, true.
It's a stupid but funny thematic parallel.
Wow, Bob. That's insightful there.
That was insulting.
You're really getting inside these writers' heads.
I don't think there's that much to get into.
Well, Bob, what's the next episode look like?
Olsen's 11 is what it's called, Matt.
Olsen's 11. Wonder what that could be about.
It's going to be about how Jimmy and Lois steal the shit, Matt.
Like Ocean's 11. Oh, I see what they did. Okay. All right, then.
Yep.
But there's a big scheme that takes place. Little heist.
A heist. Yes. Yes, Matt, a heist. why are we watching this shit?
I don't know, Bob, but we'll continue watching just to amuse ourselves.
Amuse one of us, at least. All right, this has been Uncanny Tracks. It's Superman. You know the deal.
Thanks for listening.